The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Greg Medallion's fleet.
Okay, a couple of things, Ed.
Firstly,
wasn't it meant to be John Mayer today?
Thankfully not. Saved myself some real embarrassment there, and all I had to do was assassinate a major international music star.
It's your fault, is it?
Yep.
I was told he was double booked.
Either way.
With a much lesser program.
That'd be right.
Secondly, who is Greg Medallion's fleet?
Medallions of meat, Greg Fleet.
Oh, I see. That's how it works.
Thirdly, where is he?
Where is he? We can't have an empty chair co-hosting, can we?
Last I heard, he was running down the street. It didn't say whether it was towards the station or...
Running down the street with medallions and meat.
Hey.
That's Gregory Fleet. And we'll be playing What Would Greg Fleet Do, even if he's not here.
I wonder what's in this sack that I'm rustling.
Is that a delivery from Keftan Central?
It might be.
All right, it's all coming up on Get This, the show that likes to, well, turn the spotlight on stupid behaviour wherever it occurs.
Potkill!
Thanks, Rodney.
Very, very well done. A fantastic start to the show. You deserve a drink. Come on, let's hit the bar.
Now you're talking, David.
Straight from the Hall of Fame, that'd be Midnight Oil here at Get This Around the Nation. Good morning, everybody. It's myself, Tony Martin. It's, Richard Marsland likes to push a button or two. And
for it.
Over there, no John Mayer, but we do have Ed Cavalier.
Just as good. Just don't get out of it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stop it.
Your body is a wonderland.
Oh, that wasn't condoned.
Your body is a wonderland.
We didn't get to play it to the man himself. And please, medallions and meat, it's Gregory Fleet.
Yeah. Rock out the medallions.
Who, frankly...
Oh, sweat man.
Looks ready for an ambulance.
Oh, just ran.
He's ambulance ready.
I ran all the way from my place to here, and I live like 150 metres away. So I ran so fast, and I've run for so little. I ran so fast, I got into the stairwell, because I can't afford lifts here at Triple M, and got in the stairwell and almost passed out from not running. I thought, oh, God, I'm going to have to keep running every second for the rest of my life. Damn you, Tony Martin, and damn you, John Mayer.
So sorry about that, John Mayer fans. We do have Greg Fleet. His body is a hinterland. His body's full of contraband. Join us on the dark side, Gregory. You just calm down, Greg.
Body's been to Wonderland.
I tell you what, we might give you a break. We might go to something pre-recorded to help.
I'd like to discuss Greg's mustache before that, any of that happens.
I've grown a mo.
It's a nascent mustache. It's halfway there.
You know why I've grown it?
Why?
Because I want to look a little bit like, I'll go easy, Blake, it's just a couple of bats. Jack from On the Buses.
Didn't take long.
Maybe you'd like to look like Frank Butcher.
Potkill!
From EastEnders.
Oh, you could just tell his next line was, ooh, me plums.
I'm sure it was. Hey, there's so many controversies on this show. I don't know if you're across them all, Greg. Probably the biggest one is...
Not NK.
Yeah, Kershaw Gate.
Yep, see, there you go.
People say we're taking the piss.
I haven't even heard the show ever, and I guessed it was about Nick Kershaw, because he's the most topical person in the world right now.
He is. We're getting a lot of flack from Nick Kershaw fans.
Kershaw heads.
Who say we're taking the piss. And we're getting a lot of flack from farmers who think we're taking the piss.
Even more flack from farmers.
Now. Oh, my goodness. Well, the head of the anti-Kershaw church went on air yesterday and said that all Nick Kershaw fans are just walking around like bits of meat and deserve what happens to them.
Medallions of meat?
Medallions, nonetheless.
Hey, Greg. What's in here?
It's not.
Don't
know. Could be the caftans. We're opening that bag later in the show.
I went on air in Brisbane, Triple M in Brisbane, and they were talking about where the bloody hell are Tony Martin's caftan? Because I was on. I mean, I assume they talk about it every day ordinary.
Ian Skippin talks about little else on that program.
Is that right?
George McEncroe has to take him aside and say, leave it with the caftan
gear. I'm not going to leave it.
You should have seen the jealous look on his face when I started... kept taunting him with, like, we're going to slip into them slowly. Slide that polyester over our flesh. Yeah. Damn you.
We're going to be so comfortable and so able to entertain at a candlelit dinner. But, okay, getting back to Kirschgate.
Yeah, people,
because this is an idea Ed came up with on the show. Okay.
Look out.
There's suffering out in the countryside.
Oh, yeah.
Even further out in the, what do you call it in
Africa?
This country? Outback. The outback. You've got that happening.
Yeah. Not as far as Africa, but far.
The big brown bit.
Yeah.
And the Ed.
Kershaw's synthesizer, three synthesizer pop.
Yeah.
He's pretty much, it'll either bring rain or cheer them up so much they'll forget their worries.
Yeah. Absolutely. Not and unlike Beaconsfield, but synthesizer. Without the mine. Yeah, very similar.
Naomi Robson.
Yeah, and without Eddie McGuire getting in the back of the ambulance, going, "You're not dead till I say you're dead."
But people are saying, "Okay, that's just, you know, how could that work?
How could it work?
Nick Kershaw, three synthesizers, back of a truck.
How could I like you?
Never going to work.
I like your ideas, but
farmers,
no.
You know, what? Is that going to help them really?
Well, a lot of flack, a lot of naysaying, sort of people not getting on board, people hating it, a lot of player haters. Hate the player, not the game. You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of people are taking out the anger they feel from being hurt at the Bowser on you.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. But we're saying it could work.
That's what we're saying.
It just might work.
We're saying we're willing to do it.
Yeah.
And then record the results.
So let's just all close our eyes for a moment. Maybe not if you're driving. And imagine how our mad scheme might actually unfold. So, when was the last time any of you saw a decent rain on any of these crops?
Please,
one at a time. You, sir.
Oh, look, in the last 2 years, we'd be lucky to see more than... Hang on. Can you hear that? What is... Oh, my God, it's a flatbed truck. And on the back, is that a man in pirate pants playing three synthesizers at once?
Excuse me, who are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, that man up there playing those three synthesizers simultaneously has the answer to your problems. Yeah, Nick, give him a taste. Here we go. Yes! That is amazing.
Is that one bloke making all them sounds?
It certainly is. And see, that sounds like a guitar. That is a synthesizer as well.
Please, impressive synthesizer solos are all very well, but who is that?
You mean you don't know? I'm sure these fine gentlemen know who he is. Allow me to explain. There's a man with three synthesizers strapped to a truck, and he drives round the outback bringing farmers luck. He's a frontline combatant in the fight against drought with his drums so hexagonal and sultry power. I think you've guessed that's right, it's Nick Kershaw. Take it away, Nick.
I've got two strong arms.
He has.
Lessons of Babylon.
That's who. But listen, looking for water?
Mate, we've heard all this talk about the tree by the river before. We had a flock of seagulls through last month.
Yes, I mean, Mr. Kershaw's obvious keyboard dexterity aside, what does he really know about the problems here on
That's
the land?
Right, Nick? I think this should convince you of Mr. Kershaw's ecological credentials.
Mother Nature isn't in it. 300 million years.
Yeah.
Buying just a minute.
See, I think we have a fairly good grasp of the situation, everybody.
Mr. Kershaw, sunny synth pop optimism is of very little use to families facing bankruptcy.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, putting your extraordinary synthesizer mastery aside for a tick, I mean, do you have any idea what it's like out here?
Hang on a sec.
Let him speak. Yeah, we've got it pretty hard out here, Kershaw. Yeah. What do you say to that?
Yeah, come on. I got it bad.
What instrument is that?
Look, Mr. K. Kershaw, please, despite your obvious skills on more than one keyboard simultaneously, what exactly are you proposing here?
What Nick is saying is leave it. Leave all this and move into, say, new romantic-style synthesised entertainment.
We can't leave all this.
Yeah, and you know what we're up against out here?
Well, I don't know. What do you reckon, lads?
Hey, well,
he's got a point. His eyeline is quite convincing.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I guess we could give it a crack. Yeah. Everybody.
Wouldn't it be good to be Nick Kershaw? Living off the synth and not the land.
Yeah.
Let's all move to town and start a synthesizer band.
Made my eyes sweat.
The Kershaw haters just lack the vision.
You see how he talked those farmers around? I thought there was no way that those sturdy rural folk were going to get together.
Especially, especially that Rodney Rood was playing Grant Spatchcock, the pizza guy, as one of the farmers.
I thought he'd never come around, and, but he did.
And fortunately, they had with them, you know, at the very beginning when the guy went, hang on, what's that in the far horizon? Is that a flatbed truck with the man playing three synths? That was Vision Harrison, a guy who lives in that town. His one skill is he can see things from far away. But that was, who would have thought you could make 14 references to him despite his dexterity at playing three keyboards at once? After about time 11, I went, he can't possibly say it in another way.
Have you calmed down yet, Greg?
How on earth did you get Alan Jones to play the reporter?
I know.
That was incredible. And how?
Under the pressure.
He just was waving a flag and we said, that man will do.
How do men so gruff and so Aussie, it's a Rodney Rood-styled accent, all of a sudden learn to sing Cockney?
I know. It was amazing. You'd think.
It's the mysteries of the outback.
You'd think that everybody in the world only sang in Cockney accents. It's amazing.
All right. Have we solved the climate crisis? Has that been sorted?
I think that's pretty much solved it. I reckon we've got to get that clip sent straight over to former US Vice President and maker of the...
Al Gore.
Al Gore.
Yeah,
Inconvenient Truth.
Yep.
Okay, you're saying there's more to do on climate change?
I'm saying there's much more to do.
Okay, yeah. I thought we'd pretty much fixed it up.
Oh, we have.
We fixed it here.
Send that to
global.
Al Gore he relaxes.
All right, well, let's sort out the rest of the world.
Get Nick Kershaw on a flatbed Boeing 767 flying around the world.
But Americans only like Americans. We're going to have to find an American version.
Because we didn't use Dancing Girls, and that's one of the most synth-poppy of all of the Kershaw hits.
That'll make it right.
Okay, and let's hear from John Howard. Let's see what he's got to contribute. Okay.
Well, we'd have to find a Nick Kershaw-esque person from each nation that you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. Like someone,
there's our new challenge.
Someone from the models.
We've got it now. If you're the Maldives equivalent to Nick Kershaw, three synthesizers and coconuts a go-go, email in. We want you.
Or call us on 133353.
Don't cry to me.
That's... Evanescence.
Could do with some synth, those guys.
Cool. I thought that was Nick Kershaw.
It was not. Greg Fleet, Medallions of Meat, is with us this morning, filling Medallions. In for John Mayer.
Whose body is officially no longer a Wonderland.
Right. Yeah. It's been downgraded.
Yep. It's now just a fun park.
To a wet and wild.
Yeah, his body is a fun park, wet and wild.
You know, where did he have to go? Is he on Kerry Ann? Has he been poached by Kerry Ann?
Yeah, look.
Okay.
Oh, what, is he doing something else? You know what, I actually saw him. One of the reasons I was a minute and a half late was I saw him downstairs. And he kept trying to cut his time back on this show from an hour to 45 minutes to half an hour. I saw him downstairs and he said, no, I'm still on. I'm ready. I'm available for an interview, but you have to do it now. And I went, oh, well, I'm not a regular member, but I'm in the show, so I'll do the interview. And he went, look, I don't have time for the questions, so I'll just give you the answer. No. And that was it.
And it didn't even get broadcast. It was just in the foyer.
Yep, absolutely. Right. So
you
that was
a scoop there, Greg.
People have been mocking us for suggesting that the answer to the climate crisis is mid-80s synth pop. And now...
What, have you had bad reactions?
Yeah, there's been a bad reaction to that.
Hey, I'm going to throw a cloth at the wall.
Now listen to what's...
Take that.
Wow.
Take that, society.
Affirmative action.
Yeah. That hoity-toity.
Listen to this story here in London. An author claims she is living proof that Christa Berg can work miracles. Marisa Mackel, 33, says the singer of Don't Pay the Ferryman fame, in case you're wondering it.
Don't even fix a price.
Healed her arm, paralysed after an accident, simply by laying his hand on different areas of it. Christa Berg.
Oh, that old trick.
Hang on a second.
Yeah. Christa Berg shows up at your house and just says, let me lay my hands on you.
On various areas of you.
Magic healing results.
And well, that actually is true because my girlfriend, Christa Berg, came around. He laid his hands on various parts of her body and now she can walk perfectly well.
What?
Mind you, she could walk perfectly well before.
Don't enter any contractual arrangements with Christa Berg if he comes to your house. Don't even fix a price.
Don't even do that. Until he gets you to the other side. Obviously, if he gets to the other side, give him heaps of cash.
So how's that first Kershaw, now to Berg? Who will next be on? I was going to say Alan Jones, but I meant to say Howard Jones, and Alan Jones came out of my mouth.
Well, they both wore parachute pants in the 80s.
They did.
You don't want Alan Jones coming out of your mouth. No, believe you me.
Or coming out of the nothing.
No, don't say that.
Okay.
Best not to.
No.
Alan Jones, like to get to know you well.
I met a guy who Alan Jones taught at school, and they called him...
Is he in counselling?
He was alive,
there's 100 pages of that book about what it's like to be in Alan's class.
He was very angry. This guy, he's a guy who works at the ABC and a director at the ABC. And he said they called him Blood and Three Strokes Jones.
That's true.
He'd hit you with a cane or whatever to the point where you would bleed.
He loved caning boys.
Mm-hmm.
There's just whole chapters of him just caning boys.
Yep, absolutely.
Still now?
I went to be interviewed at the station that Alan Jones is on a couple of years ago.
He didn't let you in there, Tony.
And there was just frightened people in the corridors. Right. And I'm speaking to some woman who's was a producer of the show I was going on, and I think was partly a producer on Alan Jones' program. And she was just like, someone had just been in a plane crash, just terrified. Right. And at one point, she's talking to me and she looked around and there was a giant photo of Alan Jones on the wall and it frightened her.
Oh, his eyes moved.
She looked around and she just jumped away.
He's growing. He's
growing.
That fear of people. Because I went to do an interview on his show and there was heaps of people in the foyer.
You weren't on the Alan Jones show.
I wasn't.
You would have been a disgrace.
I was going to go on, but I ran because I got there and in the foyer there's all these frightened people and they were all lined up. Mm. And then I realised they were all lined up in school uniform and they were waiting to get the cane. He'd got so many kids who were ordered to get the cane when he was a teacher at school. He had a backlog. These guys were all, some were like bank managers and lawyers. One was in prison and got day release, and just queuing up. It's taken me 47 years, Henderson, but it's time for you to bend over and take the cane. Every fictional person I ever mentioned is called Henderson. Vision Henderson.
That's your go-to name.
Well, I'm sure you will get on the show. Alan Jones has flagged you for a later broadcast. What else is going on? John Howard, we're talking about climate change.
Yeah.
And, of course, nothing's been done for years.
Mm.
And now this 700-page report has come out. And as it says in the paper today, the report focuses on the economic and not the environmental consequences of global warming. So suddenly action is being taken.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, people are going, I'll be underwater, that'll be fine. But what, my stock portfolio's in danger? Hang on a second.
How dare you?
Here's John Howard talking about climate trouble in Parliament. Have a listen to this.
Of course, climate change is occurring. The important thing... I'm a chorus of approval from the opposition.
Wow, he sounds like he really enjoys climate change, that John Howard.
Sounds like he thinks he's in charge of it.
Hey, Mr. Howard, check out this picture of Amanda Vanstone in the nutty.
Oh, dear, me.
Hey, Mr. Howard, check out this picture of Alan Jones in the nutty.
He's got the same reaction to everything, that guy.
He knows what he likes. Yeah. He knows what he likes.
Not afraid to admit it.
Mm. What else is going on? Don't you feel sorry for Johnny Knoxville coming out here? At the same time, this Werribee DVD rapist business is going on.
and papers today.
Well, why does how does it relate?
It does. It's just so easy to put the word jackass in the headline.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's friends with all the Wolf Mother guys too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So when they won, he was very excited.
But you've got The Age in Melbourne today. Teenagers' jackass behaviour led to man's death. Now I've seen Jackass. They don't set fire to people in a park. No, they might set fire to themselves in a park,
But not other people.
It's that one bum fight that they should really be. Why has Jackass been dragged in?
I just think it's an easy one. Like it's kind of like, you know, oh, something's happened quickly. What's a pop culture reference that all the kids are into?
Yeah, well, there was one on one of the Criminal Intent shows or whatever that were on last night. And it was a game, like a, you know, computer game, sort of like Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
There was some kids going out and killing people in the same way they killed them in the game.
Yeah.
You know, so the same sort of thing. Pop culture, copying it sweet.
Oh, and was there I didn't see it. But whenever you see that in a movie or a TV show, was there an older character sitting who somehow has never been exposed to these games in their life?
Well,
going, Jesus, is this what the kids are into?
Yeah,
society standards have gone down the toilet.
Yeah,
and then did they immediately cut to a really violent autopsy?
You have seen it before. You must have.
Don't you love that? When the CSI shows a point in the finger. They talk about nothing but autopsies and semen for an hour. And then they're looking down on the kids' video games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically, CSI and Law and Order are just a license to talk about semen on air. That's what they are.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. But it's good to see they're looking down their nose at the Grand Theft Auto.
Semen traces. Were any semen traces? We found some semen traces.
That's pretty much the whole show.
Yeah. But I mean, what a hideous job just going with tracing paper. You know? Semen traces.
Do you like the sound of that, Mr. Howard?
He's on board.
This segment is getting really unpleasant somehow. Probably my fault.
Oh, no, not really.
Captain's
coming. We can't open that bag yet. We're sizzling it for later.
Come on.
We are going to open the bag and find out what's in it. What do you think will be in it, Mr. Howard? That was one too many.
You showed him.
Go to YouTube, everybody, right now. Go to YouTube. Yeah. Type in Kim Beazley. Yeah. And somebody, a genius, has put the Kim Beazley theme over some footage.
Oh, has he?
Oh.
You got the Kim Beazley theme?
Oh!
Here he comes. He's going to sort out climate change.
Howard hiding in the bushes, hoping that his tracksuit's camouflaged again.
All right. I think we've heard enough of that John Howard clip, Richard. I don't want to hear that clip again on today's show.
No,
go to the edge.
I don't want to hear it again.
Get this. Order. I'm a chorus of approval from the opposition.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.
It's Get This. It's around the nation on the Triple M network
look what Greg's done.
KOFM.
I'm dressed up as a Roman senator from Asterix.
just with a tea towel around the back of his head.
Wow. Behind my ears.
It's great radio.
So much more authority. Really does.
In case you haven't guessed, Greg Fleet is with us.
I think he's an outstanding addition.
Sure.
Oh, nice one. John Howard.
He's on board today.
He is. We couldn't get John Mayer.
So you got John Howard instead.
We got John Howard.
John Howard's album's better anyway.
His body is Wonderland. What have we got in the pile? You know, last week we were talking, Greg, you wouldn't believe this, but people have been plagiarising Ed Cavalier's lines from the show, his worst lines from the show, his headlines from Cavalier's Believe It or Not about seals driving to work.
Riding a seal to work.
Yeah, using them to pick up women.
What? And people have been ripping this gear off.
So we had someone email
and it's been working.
Hang on, I'm throwing the tea towel at the wall again.
Don't do it, Greg.
Damn you, society, with your theft. Sorry, John.
Sorry, you've said him off.
No, but that's outstanding. So people have been ripping off Ed's ideas and...
Yeah, and using them to pick up people in bars.
Has this been happening again, Ed? Did you find that email?
Look at this. Lenny, how are you? Firstly, Lenny might be lying, but let's say he's not.
Yeah.
Lenny says that he was at a bar the other day, and anyway, he thought that I was there because he heard someone over his shoulder say to a girl, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No, of course." This dude said, "I'm the tall one in the KFC commercial."
What, so I don't know my own name?
That's how he identifies himself.
Right.
Delivery man number two.
I'm the yellow dog.
517 a prisoner. Yeah. That's what you could say.
Yeah.
She, of course, said that, you know, "No, who the hell are you?" Which is fair enough, right? And this is the bit that I like. Lenny said that he then watched on in anticipation as the girls were at least 9 out of 10 on his scale.
Whoa! 9 out of 10 on his scale.
So I want you to write in your scale, Lenny. Yeah. Let's have pictures of ones all the way through to 10.
So the we tail know scale.
The tail scale. Lenny's tail scale. Yeah. Lenny's tail scale from 1 to 10. Because if these guys are at least a 9, I want to see what they're like.
And did this guy, KFC guy, score?
No, thankfully not. He got no love.
I see you've put the email down. Yeah. Like you finished with it.
That's all.
There's more.
It's a two-liner.
There's more.
Who gave
I watched
copy?
In anticipation as the girls were at least a 9 out of 10 on my scale, comma, and we weren't disappointed when the taller blonde replied with, yeah, but aren't you gay?
That's not bad.
Oh, yes.
What it says.
Yes, KFC. The ad with the gay one.
This bloke, Lenny, now being employed for one of the major hairdressing companies. I visit a lot of salons through the course of the day, so I use the opportunity to suss out a number of hairdressers on their thoughts on the Cavalier situation. The consensus among male hairdressers is that Ed has quite a strong following in the gay community. That's something good, Ed. That's you're expanding your demographic.
Cutting through.
Yeah.
Very
cutting through.
Nice.
You've got gay traction.
Gay traction.
You have indeed.
Yeah, you've smashed through the pink ceiling.
Oh, have I?
Yes. I happen to know Thorpey's a big fan of the show.
And he
doesn't like Tony Martin, so hello.
That's good. That's good news for everybody.
All right, if we're there, we may as well read the last bit. P.S. Most of the female hairdressers had no idea who you are.
Well, in Brisbane,
I'm not cutting through with female hairdressers.
In Brisbane, people thought I was you.
Really?
Yep, which was nice. It was very nice indeed.
And how was that expressed?
We listened to you on the Tony Martin show. Oh, really? Yeah, it's fantastic. And then started quoting their favourite bits that I do. And I went, even with a brain as adult as mine, I haven't done those bits. And I went, hang on, that's got some kind of cav bit about it. You know.
That's in the cav.
Yeah, well, everything that they mentioned to me sounded very gay. And I thought, yeah. No, but they kept saying, it was one guy in particular. Other people did know, but a lot of people thought that I was the Cavalier. And pretty much, I take it as a compliment.
Thanks, Greg.
That's all right.
Are you a musical person, though?
Oh, yeah, I can play a few things. I can play mandolin, and Ed's taught me to play a couple of instruments.
You're good.
You're good on synth.
You're good on 12-string guitar with delay.
Well, when you throw, those times when you just throw to a song and you chuck me an instrument, and go play this. You know, that's if you get thrown into the deep end, that's the way to learn.
Right. So what are you going to do?
No, today is no exception.
Okay.
Today's the vocal stylings of 1G Fleet that we're after.
Mm-hmm, I'm ready.
I'd like you to sing sort of 3-part harmony. And then I'm going to play sort of moody piano underneath Rich. And then just let's just talk about our feelings for 2 and a bit minutes. 2, 3, 4. How's it, Greg?
How's that?
Good. And you're talking. Amazing. Okay.
I want to change it to Fleet.
Okay. Fleet. Perfect.
Fleet, set them free. I'm Greg Fleet.
That was Sting with I'm Greg Fleet. Here, get this around the nation. Hey, I've just got to mention the Shoutcast is up.
Ring the alarm.
So many podcasts. You've still got the Lawrence Loon cast. That's up for people going to the archives. There's the Fleet cast.
Yep. Nice.
There's the standard Get This Best Of. That's up there. And now the Shoutcast.
Ryan Shelbo Shelton.
And Shelto came on.
Yeah, kicking ass.
And it's the episode where Tony Soprano calls Channel 9. People have been requesting that. That's in there.
That's in there.
And, of course, we're brought to you by the Mercedes-Benz Vito. Don't have the music because we're playing all our own music on today's show.
Well, the Sprinter or whatever it was.
No, the Sprinter's still out there.
Okay. It's out there.
Okay. I think you can get the Vito into the Sprinter.
Yep.
Like Thunderbirds.
It's like those Russian dolls, you know?
Like Thunderbird 2 and Thunderbird 4.
Did 4 come out of 2?
Yeah.
I thought it was 3 that came out of 2.
Well, you know, 2 had a baby Thunderbird in it.
You know, I reckon there'd be something about that on the internet somewhere.
You reckon Thunderbird? Birds has made it.
I reckon it's time to play a certain game that we like to play when Greg comes in, but you know how it works.
I don't know whether to play it or not. I wonder what I'd do, whether I'd play
it. Yeah. What would you do?
Sure. So you can't do it till we start the segment. We're going to have who's going to play what instrument?
Greg's bags the shaky thing today.
Yeah, I'll take the shaky.
Okay. Yeah,
well, Nikki, can you hit the wood blocks? Let's get us started.
Mm.
Take it away. Very nice.
Work, Nikki.
Nice.
High pitch, too.
I'll do the twisty thing if you like.
Oh, okay.
All right. I thought you were going to do that.
No, I had it to tone.
There you go. How's that sound?
Good at it.
Yeah, that means you're on Spanner. Oh, but you play bongos.
Bongos. Yeah. Take it away, Greg.
When do you want me to do it?
It now. Okay. Be good. There you go.
Right, so I'm left with Spanner and bottles. Spanner and Coke bottles.
I love the way we all actually mime it. Everyone's actually miming.
And I guess I have to do some dodgy singing.
Sing it, you know it.
Here we go.
If you were halfway down a water slide and you suddenly had to spew.
Dance,
if you
Marvel.
Bumped into a fat chick and said, when's the baby due?
Well,
if you're piloting a DC-10 without a f***ing clue, then it's time to ask the question, what would Greg Fleet do? Probably come out with some nonsense, some rubbish
nice trumpet,
about the
moon.
That's what happens when we ask him, what would Greg Fleet do? If you told a bunch of bikies you're an expert in kung fu, if there's a dead man on the golf course and you're spotted playing through, if you're working with Mel Gibson and he hears that you're a Jew, then it's clearly time to wonder, what would Greg Fleet do?
The bongos have got bigger.
How am
Big
I able to
finish? Talk and sing at the same time?
I don't know. Circular breathing, I guess.
Circular breathing.
Is that how you do it?
Oh. Lovely timpani at the end there, Marsland. I thought you were spent after the trumpet. How wrong I was.
We have received a package from Cafcor.
Oh, yes.
Now, if you received a package like this in the mail, what would you do, Greg Fleet?
What would Greg Fleet do? I would probably open the package and whatever was inside it, put it on and wear it.
Wow. And how long would you wear it for? The whole day?
Yes. Yes, wow. I would. Yes, I'd wear it for the whole day.
You'd want it to be something comfortable, wouldn't you?
You'd want it to be something that was a bit, that on a day like today, you'd want it to be free-flowing and something that could, you know, get a bit of...
Oh, my goodness!
You should, that one's got shells on it!
It's four satiny caftans!
They're so
beautiful. One of them's actually got cowrie shells on it.
Oh, my goodness.
What would John Howard say if you could see these now?
Okay, look at this. And the tag says, one size fits most.
Fantastic.
One size fits most.
Okay. This one looks like Barney Rubble's outfit in the Flintstones.
Leopard show. For you, Marsland.
Cheers.
Now, Greg, which one did you always said you wanted?
I want the cowrie shell.
You want this one?
I don't care. Okay. I don't care.
Now, that leaves me with a little fella I like to call Peacock.
I don't care. I will wear...
What do we do?
So satiny.
I'll wear any caftan.
Can you hear this on a microphone?
Oh, that's
You're
sex.
You're listening to the satiny sounds of Triple M.
Oh, wow. We are going to put
KOFM in Newcastle.
Ding, ding.
You might be wondering why this segment is called What Would Greg Fleet Do?
Oh, yeah.
Because if I received a package in the mail, whatever it was, I would open it up and I would put it on and wear it.
That looks suspiciously like a moo-moo to me.
How dare you?
Oh, everyone's nuding up.
Well.
Tanning up.
Obviously, we're going to put these on during the song. And we want people to call up and... Any kind of conundrum,
any kind of
moral dilemma,
anything that's going on with you in your life,
you can get some advice from Greg Fleet, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have helped a lot of people.
Advice on being self-managed.
Yeah, no, well, that's ended. I've actually got management. And, you know, the first job my new manager got me, I've got to go up in a glider and write 1,000 words about it if I survive.
Are you being managed by Inside Sport?
Are you being managed by Frank Butcher from EastEnders?
Hot cow! Ooh, me plums.
Well, let's see. Have we got any dilemmas? Here's a dilemma.
I've got
a dilemma that maybe satiny caftans would have been the answer to.
1-3-3-5-3. Start calling us now.
Yeah. With your moral dilemmas for the fleet, man.
What about Princess Mary of, is it Denmark?
Tassie. Town.
Princess Mary of... I did a gig in Tasmania the other day in a town called Baghdad.
That is more interesting.
I've been to Baghdad, Tasmania.
Have you been to Penguin, Tasmania?
Nine.
They have the big penguin.
Not very big.
6 foot tall.
Not very big.
As the locals say, pretty big for a penguin, right?
In Baghdad, they've actually got the big Baghdad, which is a scale reproduction of Baghdad, only a tiny bit bigger.
Yeah, and... Airfix model planes are constantly bombing it. Let's not go down that path. That's a bad path to go down.
Princess
Mary is trying to seem interesting. Yeah. Now, in a desperate attempt, she's worn the same dress that two women had already worn to the same thing. That's
interesting.
That's such big news in the era of climate warming.
Mm.
You know, when Christina Applegate and Rachel Griffiths wore the same dress to something. Oh, 700-page report, please.
You know what would have been interesting? If all three of them showed up in the dress at the same time.
Now, like, that would be interesting.
Three heads, you know? Now we're talking.
I reckon the way to make it interesting is cut from shots of them in the same dress to giant icebergs falling into the sea.
Now we're talking. All right. That's what Greg Fleet would do.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, I'd let people know. Wear the same dress, ruin the planet. Yeah. That's how it goes. Wear the same dress, put a hole in the ozone layer.
What are we going to do about this global warming? I mean, I thought the Kershaw thing would have sorted it.
I've told you, it solved Australia, but we need to get it on a global level.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, when I'm cleaning my teeth, like, I don't leave the tap running anymore.
Good man.
I mean, I thought that would have sorted everything out.
That's okay, you've done your bit.
I went and saw the Al Gore film.
Did you?
What do I need to do, see it again?
Yeah. That could help, that could work.
Would that help?
You've got to see it every twice. Day.
If I saw it every day, would that stop icebergs falling into the ground?
No, I know what it is. I know how to stop it. Make sure that Princess Mary never wears the same clothes that Rachel Griffiths wears.
He's got it.
That would solve it.
Hey, I've got one for you, Greg.
Yeah.
What if you're in a breakdancing class and you accidentally kick someone in the head? That happened to me last night.
So my happened to you?
My first ever breakdancing class.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah.
And you kicked someone in the head?
I walked in and there's just a lot of people like chilling at the back.
Yeah.
It's like chilling out next to the mat.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll make a joke, right? I'll lighten the mood, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, by booting someone in the face.
Well, they're all in the full get-up. And I was wearing tennis shorts and runners. Now, apparently that's not the kind of gear that you need when you're in this thing.
No.
So I walked up and there was a couple of dudes, like, on their haunches, giving it the full, like, arms across electric
the
boogaloo stance.
Yeah.
And I said, you guys mind if I chill out with you?
No, you don't talk like that at the Boogaloo Academy.
Didn't go down well at all.
Academy O-Boog.
Didn't go down well at all.
Yeah.
So then when I did my first lock, I got my left leg over my head, Greg.
And
I had to hold it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then people go like, woo!
Yeah.
I missed and kicked a girl in the head.
A girl in the head?
Girl.
Oh, that is no way to solve global warming.
To the audible gasps of the chillaxers up the back.
Oh.
And did you have your own theme music? Like when you entered the fray down there?
You know, I thought about that. I thought Kershaw would have been good.
Yeah. Oh, you could have used my the rap I did on this show, because it's got to be hip hop if it's just great.
I should have brought my own ghetto blaster.
That's what you want to see.
Out.
You want to see them all standing around and then just the crowd partying. The
crowd partying.
And the greatest breakdancer of all time stepping up to the plate. Kim Beazley.
And Ken Wardle.
The bee's got the knees around his head, if you please. Spinning around like a top on its knees. Freeze. And kick it in again.
The inventor of break waddling.
Oh, no.
Greg, maybe I'll go to class, right? Yeah, and in between kicks in the head, right? Yeah. You can just be busting freestyle while I lock it.
Yeah, we'll go as a team.
We're a crew.
And Tony can run in with
the... We're called Satiny Caftan.
Yeah, Tony can run with a can of spray paint and just, you know, do
bust some graph.
Throw some graph at the wall.
Wow, it's so much.
Throw some graph.
There's so much.
See what sticks.
Yeah.
Sticks with a Z.
We want you to call us...
The Fuzzar Squares.
1-3-3-5-3. Any dilemma at all.
Oh, I've got to get off these restricting clothes.
We're going
to... I was sweating before.
We're going to nude up briefly, get the caftans on, and then we're going to join you for a round of What Would Greg Fleet Do?
If you accidentally filled your petrol tank with super glue, if you slagged off Nickelback so many times they tried to sue, if the doctor checked your arse x-ray and found a platform shoe, you'll be glad we asked the question, what would Greg Fleet Do?
That's Sugar Ray every morning here at Get This, where we are finally unrestricted wearing satiny caftans. Welcome to Caftans Courageous.
I got a fever.
Oh, sorry.
Tell you what, I really do. This caftan has made me feel more like, I feel like the caftan in Tennille.
Oh. I got a fever.
That's Fleet pun fever right there.
Yeah.
Let's have a few moral dilemmas and find out what would Greg Fleet do. That's what we're doing today.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Oh, excellent, sir. What's your dilemma? What are we asking?
Well, I actually saw a Nick Kershaw tribute band over in the UK once.
You did not?
Was he in it?
I didn't mean to. I just walked into it.
Called what?
Hey?
Called, what were they
the
called?
The Nick Kershaw Tribute Act.
Oh, the Nick Kershaw Tribute Act.
It
was called Knick Knack Paddywhack.
So they need a whole band to play just one guy.
So what do you, what's the dilemma?
The dilemma is I don't know whether to get a synthesizer kit or a standard drum kit.
Greg, what would you do?
Well, if you're going for the Nick Kershaw look, obviously, you couldn't get a standard drum kit because there ain't no hexagons on that. You know, it ain't no Kershaw drum if it's only round.
That's true. Yep. I would say Nick definitely go the synth drum because with synth drum you've got real drums and then plus millions of other kind of moody elements. Like there's the mystery button, like a Charlene 5000. Rich,
yep. Yeah, it's got the urban setting.
Urban. Yeah. I mean, you could bust out Crunk while we break dance.
Isn't it great seeing Richard Marsden talking seriously about drum machine technology?
Wearing
a satiny leopard captain.
Quite an embarrassing moment because Tony and I are having a Princess Mary style faux pas.
Yeah, we've both got the same captain on.
And it's upsetting. Good. It's upsetting me.
Don't you hate it when you're entertaining and someone shows up in the same captain?
Oh, you know, like
what
I just
do you think
you're out the back. Richard Marsden's out the back at his party making the fondue in his caftan. In walks TM, same caftan, and you can just, my immediate image is of a huge chunk of iceberg sinking into the sea.
That's
right. Hello, David, how are you?
Hey, boys, how you going?
Really good, mate. What are we asking?
my moral dilemma is I would like to make up some names for you guys, for your if you're kicking a West Side with your satiny caftanies. I want Greg Fleet to help me out. I've come up with one for you, Ed.
What do you got? Yeah, what do we got?
Mate, King Charles.
Oh, that's nice. After the dogs.
That's it,
the
mate.
The Cavalier.
Yeah, King Charles kicking a West Side.
Oh, that's
Captani.
Oh, keeping it real.
Keeping it real, mate.
You want to be in our breakdancing crew?
Can I?
Yeah. How's your kicks to the head?
Mate, my kicks to the head are probably limited to people that are about 2 foot tall.
Done, you're in. Cool. We were lying on the ground when this happened, so don't worry about it.
What is
okay,
don't, yeah, don't get the fidget. Go kick a midget.
What's great about the caftans is they're so, loose and unrestricted. Yeah. You could probably breakdance in them. You'd be risking the odd basic instinct moment.
We get electric boogaloo our faces off in these things. So we need names for you two. We need names for the rest of the three of you. Is that what you're saying, Dave? David, what do you reckon? We need a caftani stage name. Oh,
Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Tony. Like T-O-N-E dash triple E.
That's it. Tony. Something like that, yeah.
Mars, and we just need to go to Wikipedia. There'll be 30 of them up already.
A couple of super Ks there.
I reckon I should be...
Like
which one, sorry?
Mufftown Marsland, something
Mufftown.
Like that.
The Masters of Mufftown. The Dogs of Mufftown. What about, I reckon MCG for me.
MCG.
Greg Fleet, MCG.
MCG, that'll do nicely. Thanks, David. Beautiful work. Hello, Steve.
How are you, mate?
I'm excellent,
you
sir.
Got a moral dilemma there, Steve?
Yes, I'd love to know what Greg Fleet would do if his girlfriend borrowed his iPod and put Africa on there.
You mean Toto's Africa or the continent?
Toto.
Oh, that's bad. The continent would be cool, but Toto's Africa, oh... How do you get revenge on someone? The only real revenge is, has she got her own iPod? No, I take it.
No, she does not.
Well, you want to wait till she gets one and then wait till she puts all her favourite songs on them, wipe them all, and just put We Built This City on Rock and Roll over every single track.
Yeah.
It's, and some Nickelback.
Oh, and a bit of Chad. Mm-mm.
Bit of Foreigner to boot at home. And what did she erase? Like, what was, replaced by the Toto?
She didn't replace anything, it was straight out of the Shearcast.
Straight out of Shearcast.
Snuck it into the shuffle. Mm. Well, okay, that's
Thank
a good
you very
dilemma.
Much, Steve. One last dilemma, a la the internet. Here we go. James Finlay writes in asking you, Greg Fleet, for a definition of caftan. The dictionary says it's an Eastern long-girdled under-tunic.
Oh, an under-tunic.
Now, what would you call it? But what would Greg Fleet call it? What would Greg Fleet's definition of a caftan be?
I'd say it's loose like a goose. That'll do. And it makes you look spruce.
I got a fever.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I drink the juice because I'm loose like a goose. In my spruce. Yeah, that's right. I'm looking like a juice. Okay, and if I was a train, my captain's the caboose.
Well, we'll obviously forward those amendments to the Oxford Dictionary. Thanks for coming in, Greg Fleet, filling in for John Mayer at very late notice.
Thank you for having me. It's great to get into the tan. It's been so long since I've worn a captain. I might wear it all day.
You're going to wear it all day? Good and work. Maybe if people spot you out and about, they could email in.
Okay, if anyone sees me in the caftan today, I'm going to be walking. I've actually got a meeting with my new manager, and he'll freak. So if you see me, come up and talk to me. I'll tell you a secret word.
Code word.
Yeah. And then you can contact the boys tomorrow or
get a
email
prize,
in.
And you'll get a prize.
It'll be caftandemonium on tomorrow's show. I'd like to thank everyone who called in, and I'd like to thank anyone who does a show after this, because I don't think we've ever run this late.
I've worn jeans, I'm a man, but now I'm in my stand. I like to walk around in my big caftan from here to Japan to Pakistan.
We're just going to keep going till the shift after the next one, I think. I think our key phrase today came courtesy of the Prime Minister. Do you have it there?
Off to the showers.
We'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Rob Sitch. Oh. And it's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Vito. No Van Mornito.
Now it's all out and you know.
Go get the fidget. Go kick a midget.